Your dogs, when they greet you as you come home from work. The old maple in the backyard. Netflix and chill on a Friday night with a loved one. What images come to mind when you think of the word home? Maybe it's the town where you grew up, or the house. Many of you may think more of the people associated with the place rather than the physical space itself. Or maybe, as suggested in the classic American sitcom Cheers, it's simply a place where sometimes you wanna go
where everybody knows your name.
Yes, maybe home is Ted Danson. I am opening up this episode with these questions because I am heading toward my 12th consecutive year living in Japan. And if I'm being completely honest, the longer I think about this fact, the more disorienting it feels. Don't get me wrong, I do love this country, its people, the beautiful landscape. It's notoriously safe. There is affordable health care, plenty of work opportunities, the food is good. In fact, I like it here so much, I have decided to apply for the Eijuken, or permanent residency, next year. Fingers crossed. So what is this existential dread I sometimes feel when people ask me how long I've been here? Well, it might be because it forces me to ask myself the question, do I belong here? Is Japan my home? Am I truly happy? What is my purpose? What does it all mean? What am I doing with my life? Right, well, that may sound a bit dramatic. In today's episode, we are going to explore these concepts. What it means to belong somewhere. Can we ever feel truly at home within a culture so different from the one we grew up in? To answer these questions, I interviewed some of my friends who, like myself, are gaikokujin, who have lived in Japan for over a decade. We'll talk to Ken.
Job for Kenneth.
Alex.
Hello.
And Gwenda.
Buongiorno. Ciao a tutti.
About what their experience as a foreigner living in Japan has been like all these years, and why they think they've ended up staying here for so long. I guess, in a way, I was sort of hoping that somewhere in one of their answers, maybe, I could find a beacon of light which would guide me out of the dark, nauseating waters of existential despair. Sorry, there I go getting dramatic again. This is the Kyotopia Podcast, episode 48. My name is Micah, and today we are going to talk about Uchi and Soto. Oni wa Soto, Fuku wa Uchi. Some of you may be familiar with this phrase. It basically means demons out, fortune in. Every year in February, children in kindergartens throughout Japan prepare for Setsubun, a traditional event where you attempt to rid your house of evil spirits while welcoming good fortune in. The kids are told that there are evil spirits and demons, or oni, in the world, and that we should do our best not to invite them into our home. To prepare, they are given fukumame, or fortune beans, and told that if they see any oni, they are to throw these fukumame at them while shouting the phrase, "Oni wa soto, fuku wa uchi." And then it happens. Teachers dressed as red and green oni wielding paper mache clubs raid the classrooms. The children scatter in a panicked frenzy. Their homeroom teachers shout, reminding them what they've just learned. Some clutch to the nearest teacher, begging for protection. The brave ones hurriedly stumble to get their beans and protect their classrooms. It is quite a spectacle. Wait. Stop the music. So what's the connection here? What does this have to do with anything? Well, actually, I just thought it would make an interesting way to introduce the words Uchi and Soto. Perhaps the point is that these concepts are deeply rooted in the Japanese language. Their uses are varied and often don't seem to have much to do with social categorization. But arguably, the way people think, cultural norms, and social behaviors are reflected in language. The simplest definition for the word uchi would be inside or inside one's house. The opposite, soto, being outside. But for all intents and purposes, what do these words mean in the social context?
It's not in the sense of house, but in the sense of like a circle of a person, friends, family that they consider close.
So it's kind of like your inner circle and your outer circle, I suppose. That there are like, you know, people who you are going to share your honest thoughts and opinions with and honest behavior with, and outside people who get to see like a different face, a more kind of constructed face of who you are, basically. And people, when they get a closer friendship, they transition from a soto person to an uchi person.
This idea of separating people into in-groups and out-groups is, of course, not unique to Japan. I would consider my family and friends to be my uchi and co-workers and acquaintances to be soto. Sounds simple enough.
It's not such a kind of an alien concept, and I think that everyone of every nationality does have this to a degree and does have this kind of slightly odd or different behavior towards different people of closeness.
Our social behaviors and the way we interact with people in our uchi, or in-groups, would be different than those in our soto, or out-groups. Presumably, we would be more likely to strictly follow general etiquette and social protocols when dealing with people in soto, reserving our deepest thoughts and vulnerabilities with those in our uchi, where sometimes a little bending of the normal etiquette can be a sign of affection.
So a good example actually would be like in the UK, like we do this really weird thing that's probably makes people quite uncomfortable, is like when we've got somebody who's a very close friend, like a close mate, we'll generally just speak a lot of shade about them. We'll say terrible, terrible things. We'll be like, oh, it's my mate John, he's an idiot, you know, or worse, much worse. And like, I think people find that really, really confusing, how much shit we'll talk to our close friends. But that means that you're in. That means that we love each other, you know.
This sounds very familiar to me. This is the sort of banter you could expect to hear between myself and my dearest friends. But as Alex mentioned, others may find this odd. Though the cultural background may be one explanation, there are also many other factors to consider. Setting, individual personalities must come into play as well. For example, if you are from Italy, like Gwenda, what you may interpret as a cue that you are in someone's uchi may be interpreted entirely different by someone else.
Yes, I think that like there are some levels. One is, of course, the background, like cultural background, so Italy and Japan. And then one is also about personality. So if you are maybe a more private person or maybe more open person. I think I'm quite open. I tend to think that if we spend good time together, then we are friends. And this was my big shock in Japan.
Yes, that big shock she is referring to comes to a lot of us. You don't have to dig very deep to find countless accounts from foreigners living in Japan, how they struggled to interpret social behaviors among their Japanese friends and colleagues. Are these people my friends? Are they just being nice? Why did they invite me out at all? I mean, okay, Japanese people are notoriously polite. Some could argue to a fault. Yes, their customer service is perhaps the best in the world, but sometimes we just want to know what they are really thinking. There should be like a course or a guidebook or something.
Even if you just get like a guidebook to Japan, usually there's a couple of pages on Japanese culture.
Probably just before my first visit, I did quite a lot of reading on sort of Japanese society and social etiquette and things like that.
Okay. So there are tons of resources online and elsewhere about this subject. So let's just kind of do a crash course and go over some of the concepts they often cover.
Wabi-sabi,
omotenashi, shouganai,
kūki yomenai,
setsunai,
shakoujire,
honne to tatemae,
mendokusai,
shitsurei shimasu,
sumimasen,
sarariman,
ojamashimasu,
gomen nasai,
arafou,
uchi to soto,
kokuhaku,
densha no mana,
yoroshiku onegaishimasu,
onko chishin,
ukiyo-e,
yoisho,
ikebana,
sento,
ikigai,
meiwaku,
ojigi,
moshiwake gozaimasen,
dogeza,
shibui.
Just to name a few. Like many of us, Gwenda learned uchi and soto and various Japanese cultural concepts in university when she was studying Japanese. She told me that she didn't actually get what they meant
until I came to Japan. Because as it's very different, even if somebody explains you, then you come to Japan and you don't understand. Like for me, it was like this. I knew that there was this uchi and soto, but then in real life, I realized what was really hard to understand for me. It's that sometimes you don't put in your uchi people that you love, even if you love them, just because they are not part of this uchi. For example, I married with a Japanese guy, and for me, it was very hard to understand his uchi. For me, like once you get married, you are inside his circle. Like his friends are my friend, his family is my family. For me, it was normal like that. But I understand. Then, like with time, there is like some part that you don't want to mix up. It's your uchi, it's your circle, and other people are outside the circle. So even if you are going to meet somebody, but you don't know like always the 100% of this person, especially with coworkers, you only know some part of some face of the square.
I think the disconnect here is that sometimes, for example, you will become friendly and casual with someone, hang out and make friends with them, but even though you had a great time, it may not necessarily mean you are getting as close as you may think. This might be because people here are, almost as a default setting, very polite, kind, and considerate. Not only foreigners, but even the natives sometimes seem to struggle to see through their own... How did Ken put it?
It's like a wall of politeness.
Ah, yes. A wall of politeness. To be fair, in this case, he was referring to konbini staff, or the general politeness level you get when you go to a regular chain restaurant or store. In contrast to his home country...
In the UK, probably in America as well, people, their kind of genuine personality tends to come out a bit. So if they're a friendly person, they'll be friendly, and if they're an unfriendly person, they'll be not friendly. Whereas in Japan, often... It depends where you go, actually. Like some people don't do this, but if you go to, say, a convenience store or just a regular shop like that, you'll just be given a kind of barrier of politeness, I guess, that separates you from the human being behind the shop counter.
This barrier, although most obvious when doing a simple transaction at the konbini, can still be felt sometimes in places where you wouldn't normally expect it, like among friends. At least, I... think they're my friends. Oh god. Let's talk about shakoujire. Shakoujire is a yojijukugo, or four kanji combo word, meaning something said for politeness sake, or words of social courtesy. Shakoujire is frequently used in social situations, and the understanding of it is essential for smooth communication in Japanese society. Let's go over some common examples. After a night out, when people say goodbye, the Japanese often say, mata nomi ni iko, or let's go for a drink someday. But you don't have to take it seriously because it's just a casual way of saying goodbye. Also, the phrase, mata rennaku shimasu, I will contact you. If you have exchanged contact numbers, they may be using it as a polite way of saying, don't contact me until I contact you. If someone says, let's go out for dinner another time, but they don't try to set a specific date, it is highly likely to be shakoujire. If you immediately reply with trying to set down a specific date and they give you an awkward look, you guessed it, shakoujire. Also, and this is a big one, if people ask you out verbally but never send you a text message, they might not be interested in actually meeting up. Even if they are willing to meet up, they might be very lazy, so you kind of have to make the plan for them proactively. This also is a big sign that the person may not actually be too interested in continuing to develop a relationship with you. It is important to keep these things in mind, especially as a foreigner, because you will get a lot of superficial interactions. To a lot of Japanese people, being able to speak English is cool, and wanting to show off to their peers that they have a foreigner friend and can speak English is a fun little parlor trick they sometimes like to indulge in.
Right. I think there is something to watch out for, which is that you begin a kind of embryonic friendship with somebody, and then you discover, hopefully quite soon after, that you're just a sort of a novelty. And I've definitely had that experience a few times, especially when I was younger and I first came to Japan. I'd be invited to a party or something. I'd be very happy about this and stuff like that. And then you'd arrive and they'd be like, this is my foreign friend. And you're like, oh, that's what's happening. And that's very disappointing, of course. Yeah. Like, that is definitely like a kind of behavior. And those guys you're never going to have a close friendship with, I think, you know. If people are kind of treating you like you are a bit of a novelty, or you are very interesting, or they start a conversation saying like, oh, I want to make foreign friends, it's extraordinarily unlikely that's going to lead to any kind of deep or meaningful or productive friendship, I would say.
Okay, so if all of this is beginning to sound a bit discouraging, don't worry. It is not entirely hopeless. I have had countless friends in Japan who I would consider very close. As Gwenda mentioned earlier, knowing about these concepts before you come may be helpful, but in the end, it may not be enough. Once you live here and actually start mingling with the natives, it may take a while for you to actually get used to this high-context culture. Just be aware that most of us do go through a dark phase.
A lot of foreigners who come to Japan go through different stages living here. So first, there's often a honeymoon period where everything's amazing. And then there's a kind of period of disillusionment where things seem terrible, everything is terrible. And then usually you hopefully reach some kind of balance between the two, where some things are good and some things are less good. So I guess I reached that stage, and there are lots of nice things about living in Japan. It's very interesting. Food is good. I live in Tokyo, so there are many interesting things going on in Tokyo. So yeah, I guess that's why I stayed.
And I guess that's why I've stayed for so long. I moved to Kyoto 2 years ago, and I really have to say, it kind of started that cycle all over for me. I fell in love with the country again, at a short disillusioned period, and now I have found that healthy balance. Of course, it is not all sunsets and roses. I am a gaijin, or foreigner. The kanji for soto, or outside, is the first character in that title. Will I ever be accepted as a local by my neighbors? Is it odd for me to want this? Is it odd for me to call Japan my home? Of course, a Japanese perspective would be invaluable here. So I asked my friend Kosaku for his opinion.
Konnichiwa.
Kosaku is an architect from Osaka. We've been friends ever since I moved to Kyoto. We met while training at the same Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu dojo. He, as many Japanese people you will meet while you're here, spent several years living abroad, and so he knows what it feels like to be a foreigner living in another culture.
If you say about the kind of friendship or like the relationship between the family, using by uchi and soto, maybe most of the Japanese people don't use the uchi and soto. It's more like spatial word for me. So first of all, I have that kind of impression about the language, the words. As you said about the in-group or out-of-group. Yeah, in my opinion, so family, friend is uchi, but soto is more like customer or maybe just like the people who I met first time. Maybe I'm a little bit more open-minded than other Japanese people, normal Japanese people, because like it's quite difficult to say about the kind of definition of how close the friendship is. Yeah, like if I have to say as a normal Japanese, if you're a foreigner, and even if you speak Japanese and communicate with Japanese people, maybe most of Japanese people think you're still like guest, because yeah, like it's really kind of very bad Japanese custom. Japanese people also really like looking at the appearance. So because like we're just like Japanese, the face is kind of same. So we have a lot of prejudice. Yeah, if I compare with the other European or American guys. Switzerland is also the, you know, conservative country. There's so much mixed races. In terms of Asian, not really much. Like, for example, if you go to the party, yeah, you can be just like one Asian guy. So that means maybe, so they don't care. But like, sometimes I feel the kind of atmosphere that, like, we're different. That means they're also looking at my appearance, and also, I mean, I was used to that kind of situation, but I mean, it is a kind of good opportunity to have a friend. Like, I can say I'm Japanese. Yeah, that's something that I have to control. For example, like, if they like ramen or sushi, it's a kind of first topic to talk. And then the conversation goes deeply. So that's kind of natural communication. Even if they have some kind of racism in their heart, but like, I didn't care. So I was quite open-minded. Japanese society has so much gray zone, as you said, like about shakojire stuff. Yeah, of course we have those kind of uchi and soto definition. But like, if you put those kind of idea in your mind, and maybe you can change your way to communication to Japanese people. Or yeah, you guys could use, you know, the situation. So you could be really foreigner. That could be also possible. So like, yeah, it depends what kind of level you want to, you know, communicate. And then, like, but if you want to go further away, you have to accept you're different in Japan.
Although it may sound obvious, I think it is important to stay objective and practical, as Kosaku suggests. Roughly 2% of Japan's population are foreigners. That means the vast majority of people here have limited experience interacting with people from another country or culture. No matter how long you have lived here or how well you have learned the language, you'll almost always be treated as a guest by default, especially when meeting people for the first time. To expect otherwise is just not realistic. So, I've been asking many of my students recently these questions about uchi and soto, and surprisingly, like Kosaku, at first they didn't really know what I was talking about. Ken, having lived here for 14 years, has become a bit skeptical about the concept. He had this to say.
So I'm a bit skeptical about the idea of uchi and soto in Japanese culture, because I think a lot of Japanese people don't really think of Japanese culture. They're not consciously thinking of uchi and soto a lot of the time. I think it's mainly a kind of linguistic characteristic of the Japanese language. So it is something that you see quite a lot. Like the most obvious example in the language is at a company, where you will, for example, if you're talking to or about somebody from another company, you'll use the suffix san or sama, kind of polite honorific. But if you're talking to somebody from another company about somebody from your own company, you drop the san. You don't say san about somebody from your own company, unless you're talking to them within the company. And also there are different words for your company, which is often heisha, and then other companies, which if you were talking to somebody from that company, you'd call it onsha or kisha, or if you're a bit more casual, you'd call it otaku, possibly. So different words like that. So the idea of uchi and soto is reflected in the language, for sure. But it's difficult, I find it difficult to say how that affects people's mindset. So for me, I think it's mainly a linguistic thing. And I'm sure like language affects the way that people think, and the culture also affects the language. But for me, it's a bit difficult to pin down, really, Japanese concept of uchi and soto. We have it in a lot of cultures, you know, we have an inside group and an outside group. And yeah, so I'm not sure. It's difficult to say. I find it difficult to pin down a little bit.
Yes, this does reflect how the vast majority of Japanese people responded when I asked them about uchi and soto. It is also perhaps worthy of noting that the few who did immediately interpret the question in the social context were people who had spent time abroad. Maybe it is that some of us become sensitive to these feelings and ideas when we live and try to acclimate to a different culture. So what does a person who lives or has lived abroad feel when they think of the word home?
Yeah, that's quite maybe specific for me because like I feel now that Switzerland is all my home. Yeah, I don't know why, maybe like from my body, I felt very comfortable and I could meet very nice guys there. So, as you said, so like Japanese culture has uchen soto, chakojire. So those kind of same kind like fake moment that yeah I felt bad about that. That's why I went to foreign country. And now I can compare. Of course I feel when I get my house I feel really safe. But all the time like I have also some feeling that I should not forget the kind of home feeling to Switzerland or the other country or other guys from the foreign country. And that makes me more like, you know, free, and I need to think about myself, who I am, except for like nationality. So that's all, like, living in foreign country was very nice experience.
Yeah, concept of home is quite a challenging one, I think, isn't it? I'm going back to the UK soon for Christmas, and it's been a very long time because of the coronavirus. So I'm going to kind of have to get reacquainted with the UK, and I'm going to find out to what degree that still feels like home.
Yeah, so I guess now I have two homes, I think. So one is my home in Japan, in Nakano, my apartment, which I don't own, but I rent it, and I've lived there for about 5 years, and all my stuff is there. My wife is there as well. So, you know, that feels like home. You know, when I get there, I feel like I'm home now. But I think also Scotland, where I'm from, when I go back to my parents' house, that also feels like home. I do get a kind of reverse culture shock now going back to Scotland. So, just very ordinary things now seem unusual to me. And it's doubly unusual because it's where I'm from. So the fact that they seem unusual seems unusual. And just many small things, you know, many small things. It's a different world, really. It's literally on the other side of the world. So yeah, I mean, like, both those places are home, I think.
Now that I had my time in Italy, I had my time traveling and my time in Kyoto, Osaka, I start feeling that maybe I need also one place to call home, where to put all my stuff, my books, to have some keys. But at the same time, I realized that I was looking for the perfect place to stay, but there is no perfect place to stay. And my home actually, it's made by person. So this is like maybe the most cliche, like home is people, not a place. The conclusion is that it's made by person, places, but can be more than one. So, and not forever. So those are all the things that I'm understanding now.
Thank you, Kōsaku, Gwenda, Ken, and Alex, for sharing your thoughts and opinions on this very vague and challenging subject. They had so many insightful things to say, I wish I could share them all with you. I will go ahead and upload the full raw version of the interviews to our Patreon site for those of you who may want to listen. Also, again, big thanks to all of our patrons and to our listeners. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider giving us a rating and review on your podcasting platform of choice. If there's anything at all you would like to ask or share with us, you can contact us by visiting our website, kyotopiajapan.com. That's it for today. I hope you all are having a lovely morning, afternoon, or evening. それではまた次回。さようなら。